ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
We are back for Season 3 of WDWNT Nerd Alert, and this is Episode 1, and it's the good Episode 1. I'm Joe Hogarty, and joining me is Patrick Hackett.
Save Girl Meets World!
Ron Deanna.
Way too late for that.
Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Taylor Catcher.
Wait, is Girls Meet World not happening anymore? What's going on with that?
Canceled.
No.
But you guys.
Feeny. I was blaming Feeny for it. Get it, you guys?
All right. Sorry for the bad news, Taylor, but yeah, that show was dust.
You know what? Season 2, it really picked up, I think. You know, I think it was doing... I mean, like, as far as a show to watch, it was pretty good in Season 2.
I still have my grudge against whoever, the girl who plays Topanga.
Now that I've successfully derailed the show in the introduction.
Yeah, let's get back this back on the rail. All right, on tonight's episode, we missed both Patrick and Taylor for the Rogue One roundtable in our discussions, and we really want to hear what they had to say. Last time we had the roundtable, it was a bit of a somber note, except I will admit Jack seemed to really like it, and Federer liked it too. Eric, on the other hand, yeah, he wasn't a big fan of it. He gave it a 5.5 out of 10.
What a lame-o.
So just keep that in mind, guys.
Haley's scale doesn't even go that low.
Yeah, I don't even know how to give a movie a 5.5. Like, maybe 7.5. I didn't know movies go lower than that. This is crazy.
I thought Taylor was going to say, did he give it a 5.5 out of 5?
Oh, yeah. That's more like it. Now we're talking.
No, it was at a 10, but we'll get into that. But no, definitely curious to see. Yeah, we missed your positivity because it just felt so weird. It seemed like we were very negative with a lot of stuff that we were talking about. And it would have helped.
Inch Jack was the positive one.
Yeah, you were positive. Fedra was positive. But it would have been nice to have Taylor's rainbow somehow come in here. So we'll get to
take
that.
Take a look in a book. Taylor's rainbow.
Butterfly in the sky.
Alright, so we'll get
I could rate it twice dudes. As high.
Hey! There we go. Man, I have a theme song now. Can you play that theme song whenever I talk, Taylor?
That'd be a lot of work, Taylor. We'll see. Anyway, so we'll get to that in a bit, but for now, and unfortunately, we are starting with some sad news. Carrie Fisher passed away on December 27th at the age of 60. She had a heart attack on a flight from London to L.A. I heard, unfortunately, she never regained consciousness once her heart stopped on the plane, and of course, that was pretty bad. Carrie Fisher is best known to us as Princess Leia, and she came back for The Force Awakens as General Organa. She finished her filming her scenes for episode 8, but she was supposed to have an even larger role in episode 9. So what are your feelings about this, and how do you think they will handle episode 8 now?
Go ahead.
I think episode 8 will be largely unchanged. I imagine it stinks a little bit because there'll probably be reshoots and we won't be able to get anything from her. I highly doubt that they will... pardon the term, but there's no other blunt way to put it, kill her off in the film because she passed in real life. If anything, I imagine maybe between 8 and 9, they'll explain that she passed away in some way, shape, or form. I don't see it affecting 8 in any way, except that she won't be available for the reshoots.
So here's probably an unpopular opinion. I don't know. You guys, The problem, but the thing is that Carrie Fisher is Princess Leia and vice versa. Like, it's kind of like Harrison Ford and Han Solo, yet they're recasting him in young Han Solo. They are that person. So it's impossible, but I would almost, if I could have what I want, it would be to keep the story how they have it, because I'm sure it's a great story, and I don't really want them to change the story that they were going to tell. right? It's leading to something, and to just change that seems like it's like you're gonna get a worse movie, right? Like for 9. I don't think there's any way around it unless you do kind of what they did. Okay, so Philip Seymour Hoffman died before they finished filming the third Hunger Games. I know that has nothing to do with this, but they gave his lines to that was an important role that character played to what's his name? The guy that was in Natural Born Killers and was in Woody Harrelson's character, which didn't make as much sense. What he did was he read a letter to Katniss from Philip Seymour Hoffman's character who died in the movie, right? So you're like, okay, or wasn't dead or something. I can't remember how they, but the actor couldn't do that scene. But this isn't just like the end quarter of a movie that they have to like, this is a whole other movie that they have. Whatever she's doing in 8 is going to lead to what she's supposed to do in 9. Maybe she's training to become a Jedi in 8, and then like, what do you do? Like, do you just have another girl Jedi show up to take that whatever heavy lifting she was going to have to do with force mind stuff or generaling? Do they just put another general there and have that person, the Ackbar character, take over for her generalness? Or do you, I don't know, like I would almost, I don't know, you can't recast her, but I wish you could, you know?
I have the same mind. I think it's Princess Leia, General Organa, or she's too big of a character that you would throw too much off. I mean, they'd have to get somebody good that, you know, they can't just stick anybody in there, so they would have to get some sort of name to fill that role, but...
Meryl Streep,
okay. but yeah, I mean, I'd almost rather see them recast just because of the way the series goes. I mean, let's face it, we're all waiting for Kylo Ren to...
face against his
mom, confront his mother somehow, and I think by taking that out, you're losing a big part of what this is supposed to be about. And yeah, I mean, Carrie Fisher is irreplaceable because that's the she's the character that we know and love. But for lack of a better term, the story must go on.
Yeah, I don't. I think they get too much public backlash not thinking about it as rationally as we are, or taking ourselves out of the emotional spectrum of this, right? It's like you can't replace a person that is that person. It's like it's hard, or it seems impossible. But
they had their meeting this week. Colin, I can never pronounce Trevorrow.
Yeah,
he met with the Lucasfilm bosses and probably Rian Johnson too, because I think Johnson wrote a majority of the last two films. Was that? And I don't know how truthful this was, but the big confrontation between Kylo and Leia was set. You know, they had it written out, so now they have to go around that. So she's done everything for 8. She's done in the bag. They're fine with it. But yeah, she supposedly had an even bigger part in 9, but who knows what they're going to do? I mean, look, we just saw a younger version of her and another actor brought back from the dead.
Yeah, I don't want a CG Leia the whole time, though. I prefer recast.
That yeah, would, same I here.
I would prefer neither, but yeah.
Well, I mean, we could do neither, but I don't. I feel like, I mean, like we're all saying, like the story was leading that direction, and what else do you do? You either bring back, you either pay Harrison Ford $1,000 bajillion to come back as a Force ghost to replace him. To replace Leia. Like, she dies, he comes back as a Force ghost or something weird. And then there's that confrontation. There's no emotional confrontation if it's his uncle. I mean, maybe. I guess. But there's got to be something they were building to with Leia, like everyone's been, like, what they've been saying. So I would prefer a recast over a CG character. That's for sure.
I mean, if they minimize her part and just use a CG to just have her there and not be absent, that's one thing. Like,
right.
I think that's probably the way they're going to go, is there'll be some minimal version of her, but her key scenes are probably going to be handed off to Luke.
I feel like there's
something lacking there, Taylor. You're right, because
it's a bummer, but it's kind of like complaining about the fact that someone died is also super crappy. You know, I'm like, man, you know, it's like it's a first world problem or something, like worse than that. I don't know. I feel like a jerk being upset that like my Star Wars movie is going to be ruined.
Well, I think that's kind of where we're going to have to take it for the for our show. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to, you know, call us less than human for considering the entertainment side of this, because that's what we do on this podcast. It yep. sucks. It's horrible. You know, people pass away and it's very sad, but we have to look at what they're going to do going forward and how it's going to affect the films, because that's what we do as a podcast. It's going to be tough, both emotionally, I feel, for the actors when they come back to shoot Nine and to write whatever role that she has.
It's a rock and a hard place for them.
It is, and it's really, I mean, it's not an emotional thing. Like, it's not like, hey, Carrie Fisher was fired, you know, that,
right.
you know, she can't be recast. I mean, this, you know, tragically happened. But this, like you said, the story has to kind of go on. And I don't think there'll be much hate or flack for whoever might retake the role, because it's not a situation of, hey, we did this because we didn't like Carrie. No, it's because, you know, she's unfortunately not with us anymore.
It's a little different. I remember they did that with The Matrix, with the Oracle. That character passed away after the first movie, and they had to replace her. But she wasn't as well known as Princess Leia, and they were able to explain that, too, that her body had changed a little bit after confronting the, I forget who it was, Keymaster or something like that. But I did hear last year from Making Star Wars, they had mentioned that they had a rumor of what the story basically was about. And it's a rumor. We don't know this for sure. But if this is the case, they could work this out probably pretty well. Apparently, Leia and Poe, they're in a battle or something like that, and Leia gets injured. And there's a power struggle between Poe and Laura Dern's character, who comes into this movie. Because someone has to take over for Leia while she is healing or she's being attended to. So if that's the case, I guess they could make it where she doesn't survive. And again, it's just speculation. We don't know if that's a fact, but that's the story that I heard, is that it's some sort of power struggle between Poe and Laura Dern's character, who takes over for General Organa. But like you guys had said, I think that, and they had mentioned this too, that her role would be much larger in the next one, in episode 9. There is going to be a problem, because she probably was made to confront her son. Maybe not necessarily fight him, but just try to turn him over to the good side. But who knows? I mean, she could have actually fought Snoke, or had some sort of, you know, seen that she actually does have stronger Jedi powers than we had been believed what they told us in The Force Awakens.
Do you think if they strike her down in 8, she will only become more powerful than you could possibly imagine in 9?
Well, now you're pushing it, buddy.
Okay.
I don't know. And I'm not sure about like what they would do. And I think what they're going to have to do is, if that is the case, they're going to have to change the story for episode 9, where we're never going to see that. Kylo Ren may be sympathetic and upset overhearing of his mother's death. We might see that, but we're never going to see the two of them on screen again.
Right, and I think that's just too pivotal a scene to pass up.
Well,
but hey, you know, we've got how many months to go for part 8? And
we'll you can do something like Kylo witnesses his mother being struck down by Snoke, and that's a very simple CGI thing, and you know, maybe it'll have the emotional impact and do as we in the wrestling business call a face turn. So
yeah, that's that classic wrestling business.
Yeah, classic.
Well, again, like Jack said, we'll see in a few months exactly how this plays out. But yeah, again, it's kind of sad that she passed away, because she did give a lot of effort into coming back. She didn't have to come back. And I know she wasn't happy about coming back. Like, she saw herself on the screen at the premiere, and she just was upset because she had seen that she had aged, and she was now in high def on a giant screen in 4K or whatever. And but sounds like, you know, she did it for the fans, and I'm sure she did it for a nice paycheck too, like everybody does. But I think she appreciated the fans, and that's why the fans miss her so much. I was going to say one thing I found out while researching the story, like originally when she passed away, and I don't know if you guys knew this, that she was engaged to Dan Aykroyd.
I saw that.
Yeah. It's probably before.
What?
It was a brief thing in like the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That around Blues Brothers time?
That would make sense.
She used to hang out with the Saturday Night Live crew, like Belushi and Robin Williams and stuff like that. But she was also offered the role of Sarah Connor in the Terminator series, and she turned it down.
I knew that.
I didn't know that. And I'm not sure if she was the inspiration for Buttercup and The Princess Bride, but the director really wanted her as to play Buttercup. But for some reason, she didn't play that either.
That was kind of in the height of her problems, too. That would have been when she was kind of at her worst.
Yeah. It was mid-80s or something?
Yeah, that would have been mid to late 80s.
Yeah. Anyway, rest in peace, Carrie Fisher. We'll definitely miss you. We're on to our next news story. A new Spider-Man animated movie. They had talked about this. Sony is developing their own Spider-Man animated movie without Marvel involved, I'm pretty sure. I think it's just going to be them. Which, definitely, we're all looking forward to seeing that on the big screen. Which should be pretty cool. But it sounds like the rumor that's out there now is that Miles Morales will be the focus of this new movie. And not only that, there's another rumor going around that an animated TV series is coming out along with the regular Peter Parker Spider-Man series that I guess was shown not too long ago at Comic-Con.
Yeah, we saw it at Comic-Con.
Yeah. Another one may be coming out with Miles and Spider-Gwen. So it seems like there's going to be a lot of Spider-Man in the future, if that's true. What do you guys think about Miles being the focus of the Spider-Man animated film?
I don't know, man. I don't think Sony should do anything. They're very bad at this. And I don't want people to get a bad taste of Miles Morales, and then eventually the MCU needs to fix that. That's basically my thoughts.
It makes sense to do Miles as the animated series and the thing, just to keep it separate in people's minds, that it's a different character. So that makes sense, but, you know, I still have read very little with him in it, but I know he's a lot of people's, like, favorite character of late. So, and he embodies a lot of what Peter did as a younger character, too, which is a good thing. But now that Peter's younger again, it's not as important as it is in the books to have that kind of young Spider-Man.
Right, exactly, because Miles Morales fits that niche that was taken away when the Ultimate line went away, because now you have your younger Spider-Man for the newer fans, and you also have, you know, the classic Peter Parker still around and kicking in the MCU. The fact that they're together now, it's a lot of fun, because you have Peter Parker now in the mentor role versus the constant Joker kind of cracking wise on all the bad guys. And that's kind of turned over to Miles. So Miles does fit a good role in the regular Marvel books. But putting him in an animated series, I don't know how that's going to work out, especially with the fact that they're sort of incorporating a lot of the Miles Morales parts into Spider-Man Homecoming. Mm. Like Ned Leeds is now Miles' friend Gank in the books.
I agree with that.
So I think they're going to end up like confusing their fans, basically, between what we're going to see in the joint live-action film and then with a Miles. But Miles himself is a good character, even though, you know, some people do have problems with him. But he's a pretty good character, and he's fun. And sort of like, what's her name, Miss Marvel. There are a lot of people who just enjoy that fun comic without the dreariness that happens in some of the established characters. So if you're not reading the book, check it out, though. It's a lot of fun.
You got anything to say, Taylor?
No, I mean, it's... I don't know. It could be good. It could be bad. Hopefully it's good. But yeah, I agree with Jack saying that the Ned Leeds and the character from... It seems like they're mixing them together to make a better... It's kind of like they're taking the best parts of all the characters to make this new, better Peter Parker for the movies. And then it's kind of like, well, then he's too similar to Miles Morales.
Yeah, it's kind of like what they did with Batman vs. Superman, where they took some of the best stories and he kind of threw them all together, which made me upset that, like, we're not going to see, like, the Dark Knight Returns in a movie at some point, because they...
I'm sure they'll reboot that crap fest again soon.
Did you ever see it?
No.
No, okay.
It's still pretty good in Ultimate Edition.
And Taylor is not being paid by DC.
Oh, DC, do you want to pay me? Are you listening?
I was going to say, though, getting back to the Spider-Man, the Miles Morales animated movie, I'd like to see it. I got no problem with that. If they're going to introduce Miles Morales on the big screen, I think that's a great way. I'd like to see Peter in it. And you guys are a lot more familiar with his origins than I am. I guess Peter is... There's no Miles without Peter, right? Like, Peter has to die.
I don't know. No. I'm actually...
In the comics, what it was is it just so happened the same type of spider. There was more than one spider because Osborn was trying to do all sorts of experiment, and while Peter got bit by one, Miles got bit by another. So nobody has to die for the characters to both coexist.
Well, I thought that Peter died and then he became the regular Spider-Man at one point in the Ultimate Series.
Peter Parker does die, but it has nothing to do with establishing Miles.
So he was a mentor for a little bit.
No, it was kind of, they were both together and Miles was doing his own thing on the side.
Okay.
Because Peter was still young in Ultimates when he died.
Right.
Well, what gets me excited, though, is that it's a big-budget animated movie. And we've seen a lot of Spider-Man animated stuff on TV. But it's mostly been, I won't call it hand-drawn, but 2D animation.
Yeah.
We'll finally get to see something, I'm assuming, like similar to Pixar. And Sony does the Despicable Me movies. So they have...
Those are Universal.
Is it Universal?
Illumination is owned by Universal or whatever that is. That studio is owned by Universal.
Or is it Ice Age Sony does?
I think Ice Age is Fox.
Yeah. I know Sony does something.
I'm looking it up.
They did something.
Yeah, they do something big.
They might have done Kubo and the Two Strings, but that wasn't 3D.
That's like
Hotel Transylvania.
Those classic Adam Sandler movies, huh?
So they've done quite a bit of Chance of Meatballs, Open Season. I'm looking at all the Smurfs.
This is not instilling confidence in me.
So kind of the off-brand movies, right? The
Eight off-brand. Crazy Nights.
Yeah, classic. Like I said, Adam Sandler.
Emoji Movie, which I don't even...
Yeah, would anybody like to double down on my statement that Sony shouldn't do this?
Yeah, Patrick might have won me over there.
I don't think Sony should make movies anymore. They could barely make they could barely make TVs anymore.
Actually, yeah, I said their latest TVs are really good.
The latest TVs and their game consoles is where they figured things out.
It just sticks to the PlayStation.
Yeah.
And give me a Blu-ray player or give me a 4K PlayStation.
Well, they're not going to give you a 4K Blu-ray player in their PlayStation 4. You got to go to an Xbox for that. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's their technology.
Agree. It doesn't make any sense.
Now, Taylor is definitely being paid by Microsoft.
No, I'm paid by Insight Global. So I am actually a vendor of Microsoft. So
Okay. Take
that, Joe.
This might be my favorite episode ever. We're 40 minutes in and it's just been nonsense.
All right.
Fluffernutter.
Anyway, so that movie doesn't come out until not 2017. I think 2018. So, still looking forward to it. But
didn't try to cancel it. It'll be fine.
All right. Next news story is Doctor Strange officially joins Thor Ragnarok. Yes. And when I saw this, I was like, Thor, Hulk, and Doctor Strange.
Yes.
That sounds like the Defenders to me. And Black Panther, that would be like the perfect Defenders. And they wouldn't need anybody from like the Silver Surfer or anything like that.
They could just stop making all other movies at that point. Just keep making those movies.
But I don't think Doctor Strange and the Hulk are going to be on the screen at the same time, though.
Oh, but what if they are?
I don't know what to expect, honestly.
Yeah, this movie is honestly a ball of, like, amazing nonsense that I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm just going to go in and go, wow.
Well, I'm about to give you the synopsis. Let me give you the synopsis.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, not recently.
Yeah, all right.
All right, it says, in Marvel Studios' Thor Ragnarok, Thor is imprisoned on the other side of the universe without his mighty hammer and finds himself in a race against time to get back to Asgard to stop Ragnarok, the destruction of his home world and the end of Asgardian civilization, at the hands of an all-powerful new threat, the ruthless Hela. But first he must survive a deadly gladiatorial contest that pits him against his former ally and fellow Avenger, the Incredible Hulk.
Just to fight the Hulk, they should be team up back-to-back, you know, just like taking on waves of enemies. That's what I want.
Well, it was originally in Planet Hulk?
Planet Hulk, right.
Yeah.
Didn't he fight...
They were forced to wear discs or something to force him to fight.
But he fought the Silver Surfer first, I think, in the comic book. And then in the animated movie, he fought Beta Ray Bill because they couldn't use the Silver Surfer.
Hmm.
So I guess he's going to go and he's going to fight Thor.
Well, he's going to win. I mean, geez. Come on. He's the winner of the gladiatory ring, and then he becomes king of the planet. Spoilers. Well, right? Isn't that what happens?
Yeah, that's what happens.
Cool. So the race against time thing is what gets me to think Doctor Strange, right? Time, because he's a time gem.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe Doctor Strange is, like, pausing. How does Doctor Strange even get up there? Like, Doctor Strange isn't a spaceman. He's a time-dimensional man. But, like, I don't know how he gets to Asgard. Like,
a mega teleport spell. There you go.
I mean, Heimdall, I guess, could beam him up, right? Like, I assume Heimdall could be like, I guess we need Doctor Strange. And then he's like, I'm a doctor, not a scientist. I don't know. So I just think, I don't know. I have no idea how Doctor Strange is going to fit into this, but I'm very excited about it.
I mean, Thor should be more magical than the sci-fi we've seen. So having him there to tie it in, that, I mean, there is always the old saying that magic is just science we don't understand yet. I forget
who said it. Thor says that, actually.
No, who said it in reality? I think it was like Arthur C. Clarke or Bradbury or one of those guys.
Sounds like Bradbury.
But I think that's what this is going to be, is kind of the power source for these is the same.
Well, I think what we've seen so far, like we've seen in behind the scenes pictures, Thor, Loki, and Odin, they're all in street clothes on Earth. And, I think part of it is that they're looking for Odin. And we've seen in the after credits scene of Doctor Strange where Thor meets up with Doctor Strange asking for his help. And I guess he's going to, like Taylor said, time him somewhere. Maybe to get back to Asgard or Planet Hulk.
We'll have to wait and see.
I mean, it's like a backdoor Planet Hulk movie because they can't do a Hulk solo flick without giving Universal right of first refusal. So this is their like clever way to get a very popular Hulk story out there. I don't know, man. The Thor movies haven't been great. I think they're throwing more actors at a problem, but we'll see what happens. I'm not holding my breath for this one. There's many better comic book movies coming out this year than that.
Now, I know I'm the dissenting opinion, but I always like, I still enjoy the first Thor movie very much. Much more than actually Avengers or Age of Ultron. So, I'm looking forward to Thor. I just wish they weren't making it into such a team-up movie.
Yeah, too many cooks, man.
Well, if he needs help, have him bring in the Warriors 3. It's unfortunate that Jamie
also,
Alexander isn't available as much for Sith in the movie.
Well, Valkyrie's going to be in it, too.
Right, but
that's a lot of people.
I'm still a Sith fan, so.
Well, I'm just saying that, well, she's going to be in it, though.
I don't know. I thought she was going to be extremely reduced, almost like a cameo, like she was in the Dark World, which I thought was a shame, because I thought the Warriors 3 would have a bigger role, and forget about the guy who played Hogan. Because yeah, they let it's like, oh yeah, he's on screen for a little bit. It's like, oh sorry, we're gonna just kind of leave you out of this whole movie and leave you sitting on your planet somewhere.
Well, I'm probably going to be different from all you guys. I like both of the Thor movies. I enjoyed the second one too. I mean, it might not be my favorite Marvel movie, but I still have fun watching it. And as far as this one, I think it's a sleeper right now because we haven't seen a teaser or a trailer. But I think once we see that, I think we're really going to get turned on to see this movie. Like right now, we've seen Guardians and we've seen... what else have we seen? Spider-Man. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something with Thor pretty soon because that's coming out in November, right?
Is it this Thor? Yeah, that's right.
It's this year.
Yeah.
So. Oh, I think once we... You're right, Joe. I think once we start see a trailer where Thor and the Hulk start to face off, I think everybody's going to be dying to see it.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into Star Wars Rebels Season 3. And I know we've all... Well, some of us have seen the most recent episode. I'm going to tell you right now, Patrick, there's really not much of a spoiler. Nothing really happened huge that was in this one. So is it okay if we talk about it?
Yeah, I don't care.
And Taylor's still on Clone Wars Season 2.
Taylor's not even in the ring.
What'd you say, Taylor?
I'm almost to Season 3. I'm going to get the before and after of that Rookies episode, which is very exciting to me. I'm almost there. I'm finally learning about this Ahsoka Tano lady. Have you guys heard about this girl? Huh? She's pretty cool. Just, you know, she's the apprentice of Anakin Skywalker. And she's a Twi'lek, I think. Twi'lek, is that how you pronounce it?
Nope.
I don't know. Twi'lek? Twi'lek?
Nope.
How do you pronounce it?
Not even the right species.
Oh, man. Whatever. She looks kind of like one of those guys. Maybe that's speciest. Anyway, she seems pretty cool. First, I was kind of annoyed with her in Season 1. But now that we're reviewing Season 2, I think that she's doing better. And I'm just really excited to see where she goes. Hopefully she becomes a Jedi Master. We don't know yet. Nobody knows. Her fate.
People know.
Nope, and nobody knows. It's a complete mystery. We're only in Season 2. There's supposedly going to be 5 seasons of this show. 6.
Yeah, maybe. Patrick's right. What do you mean nobody knows? We all know.
Nobody knows.
It's in a movie.
I'm watching it as it's on the TV, okay? Mm. There's episodes come out. I watch them. And then maybe we'll find out what happens to her, why she's not in 4. Huh? I don't know. Nobody knows.
Well, lucky for you, she wasn't in this weekend's episode.
Great.
This weekend's episode was called Return of Genosis. I think it was that. I know it had something to do with Genosis.
I think it was like Ghost of Genosis.
That's it, Ghost of Genosis. Sorry. And it brought back Saw Gerrera from Rogue One, and it was voiced by Forrest Whitaker, which was actually pretty cool. But besides that... And I know Jack and Ron had seen it. What did you guys think of that episode?
I think your summation of nothing much really happened is kind of dead on.
The whole episode served just to kind of show us something we didn't need to see because we didn't know it existed until Rogue One anyway, was Saw's breakup with the Rebellion in general. And then that was what the whole episode was for, to show us that he doesn't like, he wants to be much more militant than the Rebels, but, you know, that's all.
That episode sucked. Plain and simple. I did not like it. It was a 2-part episode. That was weird, too, because usually when they have a 2-parter, they show it as one episode. And they showed one, I think, at 8 o'clock, and then the second one was 8:30, which made no sense. But it just was a waste. I mean, you get Forrest Whitaker to voice a character, and you do absolutely nothing with him, other than kind of make him look a little psychotic at times. But they focused on, what'd you say?
A little?
It's a little.
I thought he was just a nut.
He was kind of genocidal.
Yeah. And we'll get to that when these guys talk about their Rogue One review. We'll kind of talk about him a little bit. But, it kind of stunk because, like, they brought in that Genosian bug character, Click-Click. And I just didn't like that. It felt like... And did we see this before? I had mentioned that to you guys. I could have sworn I saw an episode like this where everyone's kind of against this character because of his species or race or something like that, except Ezra. Ezra sees something good about the character. And at the end of the episode, everyone goes, oh, Ezra was right. He is a good Jedi, or he's a good Jedi in training. And I'm just getting tired of seeing that crap.
Or you picking up reminiscent of, what's his name, Hondo?
Well, that's part Hondo. Of it.
Who's the guy with the spikes on his face that...
Yeah. That's Hondo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, Hondo.
No, there was another episode, too, where there were aliens that looked very weird, and it wasn't Hondo.
Oh, there was, like, the space mantis or space whale thing episode, too, wasn't there?
Yeah, that, too. Yeah, it's just... It seems
but that's
like
kind
that.
Of been Ezra's power, is his ability to communicate.
Yeah, and I mentioned this to you guys, too. Kanan, the stuff he's doing while he's blind, I think, is a little ridiculous. Like what he did with that stone bridge. I thought that was a little overpowered. And if he was able to do that, why didn't he just teleport them over or use his force powers to just send them over instead of, like, building a bridge out of rocks? And you guys don't know what we're talking about because you haven't seen the episode, but I just thought it was dumb.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of an overpowering moment. You're right. Because when he got Ezra across, you know, Ezra had gotten the, I guess, Jedi momentum from the run. Because we know Jedis are enhanced physical powers. But the bridge thing, I mean, it was all right. But you're right, it probably was overpowered because we don't see Jedi Knights usually exhibit that big of a scale of it unless it's like Darth Vader, you know, stopping a shuttle from taking off.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That Darth Vader comic was so good when you did that. So cool.
It was very good.
Oh, man.
Anyway, it wasn't a great episode. Sorry to break the news to you guys. I'm sure it'll take you a year before you see it, Taylor, but...
I think you greatly underestimate my ability to watch Netflix, but, you know, I'll get there.
That's true. Yeah, you binge-watched Daredevil in, like, one day, right?
Yeah. Well, it was a day and then two episodes the night before, but yes. So that's a solid, you know, 10 hours, which is, you know, 20... That's a whole season of... I could do a whole season of Clone Wars in a day, basically. So you don't know. You don't know my life! Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, it's nothing really to look forward to. But we did see a teaser trailer of Obi-Wan with Darth Maul. That's probably going to be the last episode. And
that has to be the season finale, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this still going to be the series finale this year? Because they originally said 3 seasons.
Oh, we don't know for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's back. I mean, it doesn't look like they have anything in the horizon to replace it.
And the fact that they can now put all these characters that are uber popular from Rogue One into Rebels. Like, that's a given. Like, there's no way they're not going to have...
K2SO.
K2SO and the dude, Chirrut? Who's part of the Rebel Alliance anyway. What's his name?
Cassian?
Yeah, Cassian. I mean, come on. I feel like that's almost like such a given.
I think you're more likely to see... See Baz and Chirrut.
Oh, yeah. That would actually
make more sense.
But, I mean, part of the rebellion, right? I guess if they met up with them at some point, like, they could run into Cassian at some point. Like, it could be an episode, you know, one-off. Like, I mean,
here's the thing. At most, this could be, what, 18 months before?
Yeah, these guys are all running around the same time.
I mean, we know Ezra had his, what, 15th birthday in Season 1, and so that's 15 years into Empire. Luke was 18 or 19 at the start of the series. So we're 3 or 4, like, it's 3 or 4 years that that the entire run of Rebels can exist. So, and we know, you know, that what happens to Saw is at the very beginning of that.
Hmm.
So,
Saw still had all his pieces.
Right.
So he's got quite a few battles to go through.
Right, so but not in a lot of time.
Are you trying to say that, like, we're assuming that Ghost blew up trying to get to the battle of whatever that planet was? Like, otherwise, they could... Exactly, so they could still... They can go on for 7 seasons. It could be, like, literally happening on the side of everything else that's going on. I mean, it kind of be
Jedi
weird.
Cannot be there by the time...
Well, then that's the last point they could die. Leia literally gets the plans. Spoilers, whatever.
No, because if Bail
when Bail's conversation with Mon Mothma in Rogue One kind of negates the fact that Kanan and Ezra can still exist. Or well, can exist. Because he says, why don't you get your Jedi friend?
He's talking about...
Kenobi, yes. Yeah. But if there were other Jedi around, I don't think that would the conversation would have been phrased the same way.
Well, he may assume...
that was a nod towards Obi-Wan,
it obviously was, but they can't be there if they're so reliant on just one Jedi coming.
Aren't they under the assumption that all the Jedi are dead? They may not know that Ezra...
But Bail knows Ezra...
But is he laying his whole hand out for the rebellion? Is he like, guess what? I know these are the other two guys.
He didn't go to his funeral.
Yeah, jerks.
What?
I don't know.
No, I'm saying that you don't know that for a fact that he died. I mean, he didn't physically see him die.
Ooh, wait, what?
What? You're going to say that
Kanan and Ezra, Bail knows they're there. Most of the rebellion leadership knows they exist. So,
Leia knows for a fact that they exist.
Right. Yeah. So the whole conversation that they're having in Rogue One, they're like, oh, we would, you know, if they knew they were there, they would be sending Jedi on these missions when they know they were this important. So, especially if they're the only ones left, I think they're gone.
I think they have to be gone. I'm with Ron. The one thing is how are we going to end a children's show
with all the characters dying? Well, at least the Jedi. The other characters can live.
Like, they have to sacrifice themselves if that's what's going
to
happen.
They would absolutely have to sacrifice themselves. But I think if they did it in a TV show for Killjoy, it'd be alluded to their death, but it wouldn't be confirmed off screen. However, that still leaves room for if everyone thinks they're dead, then they wouldn't ask for their help, and they could still be somewhere, and you could lead to a season 4. If all the characters in The Ghost think they're dead, and then you have this whole other series just called... I haven't watched Rebels yet, but
I mean, Ahsoka could still be out there and right. Oh, she is still out there right now.
Ahsoka's out there. We don't talk about her. Why don't we?
We saw what could be her final fate.
Oh, spoilers!
Gone over this.
We don't know. Gonna happen to her. It could be anything, okay? You know, she could help the rebels fight Darth Vader in the end. We don't know. We have no idea what's gonna happen after these.
That actually was the end of her. Was the helping the rebels fight Darth Vader?
You're ruining everything for Taylor.
You guys, I don't even know anymore.
I think I've enjoyed this season a lot. There's been a lot of fun episodes that have really drawn me in. But the problem with Rebels is that it's so hit or miss. You can get a really good episode, and then there's just episodes that feel like they're lost.
Yeah.
That
I mean, Clone Wars is the same way, right? For the most part. I mean, I feel like I could watch that show, fall asleep, wake up, and be like, yeah, I think things are okay still. Like, everything seems fine. Because it doesn't, half the episodes don't matter.
Right? No, by the end of it, they do. That's the thing.
Well, in the beginning. Okay, cool. Good to know. I won't sleep anymore while watching the show.
Once you get to about season... It's like Deep Space Nine. The first two seasons were just kind of throwaway. And then after that, everything just builds on itself.
Fun. I'm excited.
All right, so let's get off our Rebels there. It's only a couple of more episodes left. Catch up, Taylor. That's all I could say.
Wow. Okay, jeez. I will. Why don't you catch up on DC Comics, huh? Yeah, I gotcha.
Zing.
Yeah.
Zing. Oh, before we leave this too, I was going to say, I was mentioning Obi-Wan Kenobi, like we saw in the trailer that there's the old version of the New Hope version of Obi-Wan Kenobi we saw in the trailer, and it looks pretty cool, and he sounds really cool. Do you know who that is? That's actually the guy that did the voice of General Raddus in Rogue One, and General Raddus is Admiral Akbar's brother. Maybe it was Admiral Raddus, sorry.
Oh, that's his brother?
No,
did not know that.
He's a brother from his mother.
I assumed at least that due to his fish-like appearance.
But no, he's not a literal brother that I know of.
Oh, okay.
All right, so let's get into it. I want to hear what you guys...
Was it James Ronald Taylor still?
No. He does the... He does the younger version. This guy does the Alec Guinness version, which was pretty spot on. He did a pretty good job, from what I heard. But it's definitely, it's confirmed that he does the voice for it, not Taylor. Not this Taylor.
I am actually the voice actor for all of Clone Wars, so I've had you fooled this whole time.
Alright, so you guys missed out on the Rogue One roundtable, Patrick and Taylor. So give us your impressions. Let us know what you think. First, give us your impressions, and let us know what you would rate it out of a 10.
You go ahead, Patrick.
Well, Joe, I know. I did not get a chance to listen to our episode yet. Kind of bummed about that. I've been busy. But I know in some of the ideas that you pass along through the email chains that you send out, I want to hit on something that I think you nailed on the head. And actually, my wife and I disagreed about this. Diego Luna, holy God, does that guy lack any sort of charisma?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, he's just vanilla. He was my least favorite part of the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I rank it probably in the middle of the Star Wars films, depending where, if you want to put Jedi above or below it. Depending on the day, I could probably do one or the other, but I mean, it's very clearly Empire, A New Hope, the remake of A New Hope, and then either this or Jedi, and then, you know.
I wasn't sure if you were talking about Jedi or The Force Awakens.
And then, you know, you go with the usual order, 3-1-2 for the prequels. There's a lot to really enjoy about this movie. It just feels like it's disjointed at parts. There's a lot of people who were saying that they were quote-unquote hating on the movie by saying, you know, it's like it's somewhere in the 7.5 range of a film. And I think that's a great rating. Not everything's perfect. Not everything needs to be off the charts. It was good. I enjoyed it more upon the second viewing. I think it stands out as a different film in the Star Wars universe. I really enjoyed the battle scenes. They felt very real. Much like you, Joe, I felt the Mission Impossible-ing of the end was kind of eh. I was blown away by Felicity Jones. I was really worried going in. I know we actually talked about that in one of the previous episodes, that she was just kind of going to be this very cardboard character, but I thought she had layers. I thought that she did a really great job, a tremendous lead to the film. The star far and away is Alan Tudyk. K2SO is the greatest droid in Star Wars history.
Yeah,
he is the best droid in Star Wars history. I mean, you can put, you know, R2 at 2, and then I Chopper. I'm a big Chopper. BB-8 and Chopper, and then somewhere after Gonk and any other droid at the bottom of the droid pile is 3PO.
Oh, dear.
But he crushed it. It was amazing. Every time he was on the screen, it was just Alan Tudyk's talent shown through in that little droid. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie. I think that they didn't do really enough with Chirrut and Baz to kind of flesh out their characters, but I enjoyed them. I get that some people were kind of annoyed by the I am one with the Force and the Force is with me gimmick, but it was cool. I felt that we saw a different version of the Star Wars universe, a little more gritty. This gave me a lot of hope. Between this and Donald Glover winning all the awards at the Golden Globes gives me a lot of hope for the Han Solo solo pick. I say 7.5 out of 10 is a great rating for this. You know,
that's mine.
It's a solid BC movie. It's not quite an A. It's good. It's enjoyable. I will absolutely buy it on Blu-ray and I'll watch it again. You know, I think criticisms of it are fair. I don't think it's without fault.
All right, Taylor, give it to us.
Hi. I like those things that Patrick said. I agree that this movie did honestly feel different, and I think that it wasn't until I watched the movie that I understood the subtitle that is not actually part of the movie, A Star Wars Story. Because when you watched it, you're like, yeah, this is absolutely like one of the books that you would read for the expanded universe to kind of flesh out.
Great call. Great call.
What Star Wars is, and like other things that happen that aren't following those main characters. And I don't think that we've ever seen something like that. It's always the same people, right? It's the Skywalkers and company, you know, for six movies, seven movies. And so it's just interesting to see, like, wow, like this is it is just like really good, a really great side story, right? That's what it is, and it fits that so well. First, I'm kind of like, a Star Wars story, that sounds dumb, but I was like, oh no, that there's no other way to say what this is, and it absolutely struck the chord with me. And I was like, okay, yes, absolutely, this is like me reading, you know, the books or the comics or anything that's in between stuff that's not following those main characters. I really enjoyed it. I think the first time I was like, yeah, to me it felt like it was a great... So my thing with this movie is I felt like it was a great sci-fi movie regardless of its Star Wars roots, which mm-hmm. I think is part of that, a Star Wars story. However, I still don't know, because I know so much about Star Wars, whether it would hold up without knowing Star Wars, right? I don't know if, like, you are confused when they don't have a label on Mustafar, when you don't know what Star Wars is, like where that planet is. Where's this lava planet? Does it really matter? No, it's just a creepy guy in a Bacta tank, like creepy wizard man in his castle on a lava planet. Like that's where an evil lair would be. So it makes sense.
Well, I think the problem with that though is that it was inconsistent. Is that they had Mustafar had no planet title on it, but
it was the only one without a planet title.
Right, and we discussed in the other episode, like, oh, maybe it's because we've been there before, but we've seen Yavin before, and then they show that.
I think we kind of, okay, so my telling of that is, like, I feel like you've seen Mustafar technically much more recently than Yavin.
Well, it's also, if you're watching the movies chronologically...
You would have just seen Mustafar.
Right, that's the last, right, you know Mustafar. That's the only... thing I can figure out going on here.
It still was like, why not just put the title in there, man?
Exactly. Right,
anyway, so, but that doesn't matter. I liked Cassian as a character the second time. First time I was kind of like, I don't know, this guy's, you know, whatever. So I can understand your guys' complaint with him. K2SO, star of the show, should have been called K2SO, Star Wars Story. Because that movie
coming to a theater near you.
I would watch that. You know what? I would watch an entire series about K2SO. Actually, no, I wouldn't. I feel like he's great as what he is, but if you get too much, he's like Boba Fett. You learn too much about him. You don't want to know it. You just love him in this movie, and that's great.
Can we just have a movie of all of Alan Tudyk's voice characters? Just like K2SO and Hey Hey and the Weasel from Zootopia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just like also... the person flying the ship, the co-pilot to K2SO is, what's his name from Firefly? And he's playing with dinosaurs, and then you cry.
They sell the dinosaurs now in the Firefly box.
That's so funny. Anyway, so I really liked it. I thought it was really fun. I enjoyed a story about a lady sending emails to a fish man to bring down the Empire. Like, it's really good.
So what would you rate it?
9?
That's his lowest rating, guys.
That's really high. Like, I really liked it. I think it's maybe my second or third favorite Star Wars movie. So it's really good. I really liked it. I have a friend who saw it, and he said it's his favorite Star Wars movie. Actually, I've met a lot of people that have said that, which is kind of crazy to me. But what's interesting about this is, if you're a fan of more of the Clone Wars, of the Rebels, this is closer to that than it is to the Star Wars proper. So if those people that really hate this movie, I feel like, are people that are not fans of those side stories. They don't, like, especially maybe their least favorite episodes in the Clone Wars, the ones that don't focus on Obi-Wan and Anakin, which I think maybe, I would argue that the best episodes so far in that show are the ones that don't focus on the main two Jedi.
I agree. The best parts of that series are the episodes that focus later on Ahsoka and on the clones.
Yeah. And also, that guy that is the voice actor for all those clones, good for that guy, right? Am I saying, like, he does, like, seven guys, and they still sound slightly different, but they're the same person because they're clones. Anyway.
And it's Olmec from Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah. That's
D. Bradley Baker.
Is it that guy?
Yep.
That's his name. He's just amazing. You're just like, wow, what a voice actor guy. That's crazy. he just does like a lot of heavy lifting for that show. But yeah, so it's I really liked it. I liked all the characters. I really enjoyed the martial arts guy. I enjoyed his friend. The guy that had the minigun thing, which I think that was fun because I don't think we've seen that, a rebel person using one of those kind of miniguns. Like, I think the closest I saw to that was in the Rookies episode was Heavy had something similar. You've seen troopers use something like that, but you've never seen a dude. And didn't they say that he was a guard of the Jedi Temple back in the day, or was it supposed to be the blind guy that was the guard of the Jedi Temple?
Well, I think they
both were some sort of force cultist, at least. Not cult, yeah. not trying to be derogatory, but like,
they worked for the thing, yeah.
But, yeah, what that reminded me, though, is Battlefront, like the gun he was using.
Yeah, exactly. It's similar to, like, it's the stuff that they write about in these books that you never see in the movies, and now they're putting in the movies, books and off-stories. And also, I think the worst cameo in that entire movie was R2-D2 and C-3PO. I thought that was the most
unnecessary. I agree.
Forced. So forced.
So forced. It was unbelievably forced. I was like, ugh. Like, you know, I'm still pretty impressed that the two guys from the Cantina Bar got off the planet that quickly, but I guess that's why they're wanted men on 12 systems, because they're slippery guys, you know, they're slippery.
That was so useless, though, that one, like, R2...
That one was at least fun, whereas R2 and 3PO, you're just like, okay.
But then at least that makes more sense later on when you find the Tantive was on that, was at Yavin right before the battle anyway.
Yeah, I know, but dude, it wasn't necessary, man. It was so unnecessary.
Neither of them were necessary. It's like, Tom posted this video of, I forget who it was doing the reviews, and it's like, how'd you like Rogue One? It's Star Wars! And then they're just going like, TIE Fighter! It's just people, like, going over every little wink, wink, nudge, nudge they put in the movie, and it was a lot of them.
And so apparently also when, Organa said Captain Antilles, he wasn't talking to Wedge, he was talking to somebody else.
No, Captain Antilles was always the, it's not related to Wedge, was always the captain of the Tantive, yeah.
And he owned the droids.
I guess, and Antilles is like the Smith of the Star Wars universe, just everyone's named Antilles. You got Antilles here, and Antilles there. Anyway, I really liked it. Like I said, I don't know, I kind of really derailed this here.
And where'd you rank it?
I think... Threes. Oh wait, but I really like seven. I don't know. I don't want to rank it. I abstain. I plead the fifth.
Okay. Your rating was high enough where you don't have to rank it.
Thanks. They're all like nines until you get to the prequels, you know? I'm always like, yeah, they're all great.
You know what? I didn't mention this like in the round table, which I thought was incredibly dumb and really should not have been in the movie, was Boglet.
Like what's that?
The octopus.
That was, I like that thing. No, because that was great. Because so, like, the problem with torture. The problem with torture is that you can't ever really be sure, because they could just say what you want because you're hurting them or you're threatening them. But if you have a creature that can read minds and tell you the answer, then you know. I mean, side effect is you probably lose your mind. But you know, he didn't, so it was fine.
First of all, the CGI was crap for that thing. It just kind of like stuck out that it was very CGI. It just was weird. I mean, I'm not going to get into another round table, but I just felt like they didn't really need that pilot to even be there, as far as I was concerned. But that creature was just felt like it just didn't belong in that movie. But you have a different opinion, Taylor, and I respect that.
Thanks.
Boggle it.
Boggle it. I'm going to, actually, we can get right into the emails, because that is one of the questions. Someone had emailed, and they said, this is from Steve I. He says, hey guys, I enjoyed Rogue One, but why didn't Saw leave with the Rogues when Jedha was being destroyed?
That was my question.
Because he was tired, like, he had, like, no legs, man. He was tired, he was like, I'm done running. I told the thing to the lady, the sort of daughter, and, you know, I'm honestly a crazy person. I thought that she might be there to kill me. Like, I know I'm pretty crazy.
Well, I know we've talked about this before, too, and, like, Ron had mentioned it in the roundtable, is that there was a different movie, and I think Forrest Whitaker's character was expanded in the other one, And it would have made sense for him to kind of go along to be part of the ground battle. But, I think they just wanted to find a quick way to get rid of him. And then when I saw it, like, another time, he was the only one that kind of knew that the father, Galen, had the hologram, or he had the hologram talking about the Death Star. So if he would have came back with the rogues or a djinn and all that,
it wouldn't have mattered as much that they got the information to Leia.
Yeah.
Good call.
All right. This is the last email question. I actually found this kind of funny. And we'll see how good you guys are at answering this. Rob L. wants to know, so are you guys ever going to tell us what is an Inhuman? How is it different from a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married?
First question for Rob. Is he from the House of El, and in what relation is he to Superman?
Well done. Ron, what language do Wookiees speak?
I believe it's just Wookiee.
Yeah, or Kashikian? Kashik, because they're from Kashik, right? You can assume.
I think it's just Wookiee. So I actually had this question the other day. I didn't follow the reset of the universe. Storm and Black Panther, they had the falling out in AVX. Still married? When we reset the universe?
Isn't she off in space?
Is Storm off in space? I haven't seen her in any of the books I'm reading.
Or is she in the Ave Force group?
I think I was reading Inhumans versus X-Men, and something like the Xavier School is now in limbo or something. Colossus's demon sister transported it there or something, and Rogue was over there. Yeah. It's a little too, the X-Men are just a little too out there. I don't know what the heck's going on with any of them anymore, really.
When they released the Terrigen Mist into the atmosphere like they did on S.H.I.E.L.D., it's lethal to mutants. So they all had to go off in space. I believe, like, some of the ones that stuck around, like Rogue, have to take, and Beast have to take, like, drugs to stay around.
Like, Jubilee can do it because she's been transferred into a vampire. Man, it is.
Yeah.
What? Wait, yeah. Sorry, I missed something.
Jubilee's,
I feel like,
a vampire.
I want to get more beverage, and then all of a sudden Jubilee was a vampire. So,
I mean, I didn't do that. That's just a thing that happened.
Why did you make Jubilee a vampire, Patrick?
So that actually answers that question. The difference between a mutant and an inhuman is an inhuman gains their power through teragenesis, and they're usually Atlians. And mutants are born that way, but like Lady Gaga said.
Okay.
Right. The inhuman started out from genetic experiments when the Kree came to Earth and experimented on cavemen or something, and basically experimented them, and then they kept them separate from the rest of the world. But yeah, the teragenesis is basically how all their powers get tacked on to them.
Yeah, and that last question in that list there was what the expanded universe is.
Nothing.
It no longer exists. It's now called Star Wars Legends.
Yeah,
it's
dead.
It was
really a suggestion.
It was anything that was not on film before Disney bought Lucasfilm. So anything that started, and I believe things that were considered part of the expanded universe had to be published after the Thrawn trilogy. I don't think stuff like, obviously, Splinter of the Mind's Eye wouldn't have counted. And I don't think any of the 80s Star Wars comics did. I think it was anything that Dark Horse had published and any of the books that came out after, I think it was something like 160 novels and anthologies that had been published between 1991 and, 2012, 2011.
Wow, I didn't realize they had that many.
Yeah, there's a lot, but a lot of that, like, Well, just think there was, what, 20-something books in just New Jedi Order? And this concludes some young adult novels like Legends of the Old Republic, Legends of the Sith Lords, or whatever they were called. There was a lot of stuff. So anything also like any video games that occurred that had any kind of plot impact, like Shadows of the Empire, Knights of the Old Republic, all of that stuff was considered part of the expanded universe, which is now considered Star Wars Legends, which is, I think, like, you can still consider Old Republic stuff pseudo-canon until it gets rewritten, but anything that took place post-Jedi has been wiped, and anything that kind of took place in between movies has been wiped out.
And they're clearly drawing on this for, you know, Episode 7, Episode 8, and for Rebels. I mean, you can see their influences in there.
And what it did by getting rid of the expanded universe is it upset a lot of Star Wars fans that named their kid Mara Jade.
And, you know, one of the biggest, Mara Jade, Skywalker, and Grand Admiral Thrawn were probably the two biggest characters.
And they brought Thrawn back. And there's one more, and they said they spotted his ship in Rebels.
Were you talking about, not Kip Duron, Dash Rendar?
Dash Rendar, yeah.
Dash Rendar was from Shadows of the Empire, and his class of ship...
Sorry, guys, that bounced there for a sec.
His class of ship, which is similar, which is another, I think it's the Falcon's a YT-1300, I believe his is a YT-2000. Yeah, this is really, really going into the nerd categories here. The Admiral, what's the Admiral's name from Rebels?
Oh, God.
Callus?
But it was his nephew had that same class of ship in an episode earlier this season.
Yeah, I remember playing that game. That was pretty cool. Was that on the Nintendo system?
It was an N64 game that had a novel. It basically filled in the gap between Empire and Jedi. I don't believe Luke figured too heavily into it. But it was to try and get Han back. Like, they go to another criminal empire that was based off of Coruscant, and that's where Leia actually ends up getting the Bausch costume. Was part of this, and it was just another mercenary smuggler that the rebellion had been using was kind of the hero of it. But it was basically the main characters were side characters while they were doing things, but it was basically part of the rebellion trying to get this criminal empire, was it the Red Sun or something like that? Something Sun. Dark Sun.
Black Sun.
Black Sun. Black Sun Empire was who was kind of worked more for the Empire than like the Hutts did, trying to get them out of the way as part of the rebellion.
Yeah. I guess bottom line, I did read the book. I love the game. If you guys ever get a chance to play it, it was on the Nintendo 64. It was a blast back in the day. Probably doesn't hold up now, though. Anyway, all right, let's wrap this up. So, guys, can you tell us where our listeners can find you? Starting with Patrick.
You can find me at HacklessAl. That's my personal Twitter. And you can email the show. Wow, I completely spaced out on it. It is nerdalertpod@gmail.com.
Been a while.
And you could find us at nerdalertpod on Twitter, and I am at Gracie's Butler.
And Taylor?
Hey, you can find me at TCatch, as my personal account, TK4TCH, but you can also find me on my other show thing, Comics Chat with Gat. We added an S. I don't know, it's for SEO reasons. Chris said it was a good idea. At Comics Chat, WGAT on Twitter and Instagram, and search for Comics Chat with Gat on YouTube for fun YouTube comic book shenanigans.
Yeah, glad you guys are coming back.
Me too.
And as always, Jack, it's always good to have you around.
Thank you.
All right, so with that, this will be the end of the first episode of Season 3 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. So until then, see ya.
Good night, folks.
Ah, stay nerdy.
No, I let you have that. I was going to fight you for that. You weren't here last week.